Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A big step toward taxpayer defunding of abortion. We're going to be talking about the big, beautiful bill on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, I don't know if you watched, Matt, but July 4th, it was very ceremonious how President Trump signed the big, beautiful bill. And we celebrated after this 218 to 214 vote. He made a big deal about it because he has fought hard for this. And, you know, you hear a lot of media talking about it, but there's not much talk about how this is so important because it's helping to defund abortion for at least a year.
Yeah, it defunds abortion for up to a year. It doesn't defund all abortion. It defunds the Medicaid. So right. If you're making a certain amount of money, I think the threshold is $800,000 a year from Medicaid, and you are primarily engaged or a good portion of your activity involves abortion or reproductive health, quote unquote, then you are not eligible for Medicaid. This means a big hit for big abortion, including Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood has already filed a lawsuit. Amazingly, they've already gotten a temporary restraining order regarding this bill, despite the fact that there are two Supreme Court decisions that go directly against them. Number one, Medina says that states have a right to remove Planned Parenthood from the preferred provider list for Medicaid options of Medicaid recipients. And then number two, Trump versus CASA, which says that you can no longer do these nationwide injunctions like what we have here. And so what this judge has done is he has given standing to Planned Parenthood, which they don't have under Medina, and he has also issued a nationwide injunction as opposed to an injunction for a particular abortion clinic. He's doing it for all of Planned Parenthood. Even though Planned Parenthood is trying to get around Medina, their lawsuit is ridiculous. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but this is a big victory. We have been working with this matter for a number of months. In fact, Liberty Counsel and our sister ministry, Liberty Counsel Action, has been meeting with members of Congress since early in the year. We led, frankly, the activity in Washington, D.C. on this issue, and consequently, this bill passed in the Senate. It got modified from the House. Some of the things that we wanted got taken out. Some of that is because of different kinds of procedural issues from their parliamentarian. But then the House, amazingly, passed it on July 3, and President Trump signed it on the 4th of July.
It was a great day. But, you know, I'd be interested to do a little research in that particular judge to see how he normally rules. But you know that Planned Parenthood is not just going to lay down. They're going to clamor whatever it takes. So they don't want to lose a single dollar out of their pocket. That's what the bottom line. They want money.
They want money, yeah. Well, they say that it's a bill of attainder, but Planned Parenthood admits that it's never mentioned in the big, beautiful bill. So I don't know how in the world it could actually be a bill of attainder. And then they use statements from legislators, some dating back to 2017, with an entirely different Congress.
What do you mean by the bill of attainder?
Well, it's a bill after the fact, and it's targeting them after the fact. And so that it's a bill directed specifically to Planned Parenthood. But Planned Parenthood acknowledges, in fact, that some of their abortion facilities will not be affected because they're not making that threshold money. And therefore, the denominator, the common denominator, is not whether you're Planned Parenthood, but whether you're receiving Medicaid at a certain amount and you're engaged in certain primary activities that include abortion. And if that's right, the case, whether you're Planned Parenthood or some other entity, you're going to be covered by that. This particular lawsuit is, I think, going to be clearly overturned.
Yeah.
It has no basis, but it shows you why this is so critically important. Planned Parenthood knows that it makes a lot of money from Medicaid, and they use that Medicaid money to fund their abortion operation. And in 2023-2024 fiscal year, compared to the 2022-2023 fiscal year. They received about $100 million more in taxpayer funding.
That's hard money.
Over that 1 year.
Our money. But as you mentioned, you know, in Medina, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of South Carolina, which has a law preventing Medicaid funds from being used toward abortion. They ruled in favor of that, which also applies now to every state. So I really don't think Planned Parenthood would have a leg to stand on with this so-called
lawsuit. I don't think so. Based on Medina, number one, based on the Trump versus CASA, that was the case regarding nationwide injunctions, mm-hmm. and what does the judge do here? Instead of giving an injunction regarding a specific clinic, he's doing it across the board, blocking the entire provision of the big, beautiful bill. That's a nationwide injunction. But these judges are engaging in what I would think is best described as civil disobedience.
Yeah,
they are actually disobeying clear precedent from the United States Supreme Court.
And like I said, I don't know this particular judge, but don't put it past a judge like what we experienced with the Sandra Merrick case, a judge that should have recused himself that was helping to fund Planned Parenthood in this particular community. So there's some kickbacks there. So you really got to watch.
And there's ideology instead of following the rule of law. For example, when we were litigating COVID and we represented Harvest Rock Church in California, and we went to the Supreme Court. We won 5-4 in December of 2020. Then we went back down to the same district judge that ruled against us. Despite what the Supreme Court said, the district judge ruled against us again. And then we went to the Court of Appeals. And despite what the Supreme Court said, the Court of Appeals still ruled against us with the same 2-1 decision that they had done before. So we went back to the Supreme Court, and this time in February of 2021, won 6-3. Finally, that ended it. But this is part of the problem, why it's so critically important. Elections do matter. And those that are nominated to serve on the bench are critically important because they serve for decades, long beyond the sitting president that nominates them. And what we see happening here with Planned Parenthood filing this suit in a particular place of the United States is judge shopping. They don't want to lose hundreds of millions of dollars of your money, by the way. And our money, our taxpayer dollars, should never go to fund human genocide. In addition to Planned Parenthood's budget of taxpayer funding alone increasing to nearly $100 million over the previous year, it's now in the $792 million timeframe or amount for the budget year ending 2024. They also increased the number of abortions to 402,230 abortions. That's an increase of nearly 10,000 abortions over the previous year, which was 392,715.
But you know, whether we like it or not, our money, taxpayer dollars, are the largest financial contributor in 39% of Planned Parenthood's $2 billion revenue.
Yeah, $2 billion. 39%. We provide 39% of the money for Planned Parenthood. And this should never be. That's why this big, beautiful bill, it was a major fight. The House passed the bill. It went over to the Senate. We worked on both the House side and the Senate side. There were some things. I know it's easy to get upset at some of the Republican senators because some of the provisions of the big, beautiful bill were removed. But let me explain how that works. So, yes, we need more people in the Senate that actually have our values and want to make America great again.
And that are paid off by somebody.
Well, yeah. And the problem is that the margins are so small.
Right.
And then when a parliamentarian, which they, by the way, they should have removed the parliamentarian when they first got into office this year, and I think they'll probably do that later, because that parliamentarian goes back into the Obama years. But when the parliamentarian makes a rule that a provision of the budget does not comply with what's called the Byrd rule from previous Senator Byrd, and therefore, if it doesn't comply, that kicks in a process. Yes, they can still contest that and they can bring it to the floor. But if someone challenges that provision that doesn't comply with the board rule per the parliamentarian, then they need a 60-vote margin to pass it. And if they don't have 60 votes, and that's why it went from 10 years to 1 year on the defunding, They wouldn't have had 60 votes to do that, so they moved it from the House version of 10 years to 1 year, which the parliamentarian said does pass. And if it does comply with the Byrd rule, then you only need a simple majority. So some of that was based upon the parliamentarian ruling and calculating how many votes they could actually have to pass any particular contested provision. The good thing is that abortion has significantly been defunded in the big, beautiful bill. We will continue to monitor this legal challenge, and certainly, as in many of these cases, we'll file briefs to defend the sanctity of human life. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.